Just a couple quick notes here as if you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to start there today. Again, this Friday night, we'll be doing egg stuffing. So if you'd like to come help, that's always a lot of fun. And yes, Linda, we will hold out a piece or two of chocolate for you if you show up. She said, you can't have me come stuff eggs. I'll be tempted to eat more than I stuff. And so we will designate a couple pieces just for you. But anyway, it's always a lot of fun. Many hands make light work, and we'll do that. And then the following Friday night is our setup time, 6:30. We've got, like I say, so far about 30 pre-registrations come in. The flyers are going out through the school, and I appreciate our local school helping us out with that. That's actually I guess they stuff the things that they go home with the kids anyway, but to take the extra time and do that, we very appreciative of that. Again, some of the prizes we have for those who pre-register. But be praying for a beautiful day on that Saturday. Be praying for those that come, because it's going to be fun. There's going to be candy. There's going to be games. There's going to be controlled chaos, right? That's what we're looking for, a little bit of controlled chaos. But there's also going to be a presentation of why we celebrate Easter. And it's not about a bunny. It's not about candy. It's not about eggs. It's because the tomb is empty, that he is risen. And that gives us life, abundant and eternal. So be praying for those that come and hear the message, that God will be working in their hearts, and that we'll see many move closer to the Lord in response to that. So, just a little bit of review. The other thing I wanted to mention is we're going to come back to people of the Spirit, because there's more spiritual gifts and things to talk about. But with the Easter season starting next week, we're going to transition over, and there'll be a series of four messages that relate to Easter, Palm Sunday, and of course, Easter Sunday, and kind of the what does it mean now that he's risen for us. So in the month of April, that's going to be the focus in our messages. But today we're going to wrap up at least part seven of part one, and then after April, we'll move back and pick this up again, Lord willing. When we talk about being people of the Spirit again, we're talking more than just, you know, people that talk in a funny language that they don't understand. It's amazing how many times when I mention something about being a pastor, oh, what kind of a church do you pastor? And I go, well, an Assembly of God church. Aren't they Pentecostal? Yeah. Oh, you're them tongue talkers. And we are. Amen. I'm not embarrassed about that. But so often, that seems to be where the attention is drawn to. And yet, and I thank God for it. Matter of fact, when we get there, we're not doing that this week, but when we get there, Paul eventually will say, I thank God I speak in tongues more than y'all. You didn't know he was from the South, did you? But he also teaches us, he goes, but if I'm with people, he goes, I'm glad I speak in tongues, but I want to communicate the gospel of Jesus clearly, and if that means I need to speak in the language they understand, then that's what I'm going to do. Do not forbid speaking in tongues, but desire rather that you prophesy or that you speak in a way people understand. There's both there, and there are some wonderful things about that. But here's the thing is, as people of the Spirit, it just means simply that we are people who have come to a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, that God puts his Holy Spirit in us. It's the earnest of our down payment. It's the earnest of our inheritance. We know that we are his because he has given us of his Spirit. And all that God has promised us is ours because we have received the Spirit of God. That's what transforms us. It's not joining a church. It's not behavior modification. You know, that's part of it. Our lives change as we see, first of all, God begin to work on us from the inside out. That's the work of the Spirit, where it's not a matter of simply, well, I'm a Christian, so I don't drink, smoke, or chew. I don't want to do that stuff no more. Because God is changing me from the inside out. Now, some of those things are easier to deal with than others. And for some people, we have a friend that, bless her heart, you know, she's kind of, the whole smoking thing, she's gone back and forth and back and forth. And I don't think smoking's going to keep you out of heaven. May get you there a little faster. But see, the thing about being people of the Spirit is that the Spirit of God lives in us. He's working in us. He's transforming us into the image of Jesus Christ, because that is what God has called us to as we become His children, that we become like our big brother. And that He wants to so transform our lives that when people see us, and the thing that is kind of scary here, for a lot of people, you are the only Jesus, you are the only Bible, they're going to be the only communication they'll ever receive from God. So God doesn't say, oh, just do your best. No, He gives us His Spirit to work in us. I've had more than one person say to me, you know, in my old life, if somebody had done that to me, but God has changed my heart. Now I just pray for Him. I still get a little upset, but I handle it a whole lot differently. That's the power of God. So we have the fruit of the Spirit as God transforms our character, especially that ability to love. Because face it, most of us are not all that lovable. Truth be told, we can all be jerks at times. Can I use that word in pulpit? Oh, I just did, so I guess I can. Right? We're not all the nice, wonderful, sweet people we usually pretend to be. We all have our dark side. But God works in us to transform us so that we become the image of Jesus. And then He works in us and through us so that the power of Jesus is manifest in our lives to bring glory to God and to make real the message that when we say there is power in the name of Jesus, that if you give your life to Jesus, if you put your faith in Jesus, your life can change. And, you know, there's a lot of amazing things. So that's when I talk about people, both fruit and gifts. Those gifts are that the means that God uses to manifest His grace and His power in people's lives. And it's His the love of Jesus that is the fruit of the Spirit that motivates us to manifest those gifts. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10 list 9 of the gifts of the Spirit. It's not a complete list. It's the ones that Paul deals with here with the church in Corinth. And as we look further into these gifts, we'll see that they can be manifestations of power or abilities or offices. Now, the ones that he lists here are all more manifestations of power or abilities. But there, some of the gifts of the Spirit are referred to as an office or a role, such as an evangelist or a teacher. So they're God's gifts to the church to build the saints up to do the work of the ministry. Well, today I want to focus our attention on one group of these 9 gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. And let me identify what these are. There are first 3 gifts of speaking: prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. 3 gifts of revelation: a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. Some translate that message. But word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And the one we're going to focus on today is the 3 gifts of power: healings, miracles, and faith. Now, one thing again that I just want to bring to our attention, that often when you see, especially examples in the New Testament and in the Old Testament as well, of these gifts being manifested, often there is kind of overlap and combination of how they work together. Often faith is expressed in healings and miracles. A revelation gift may be paired with a power or a speaking gift, where God gives an insight into somebody and then they, in a sense, make the prophecy or declare that. I still think one of the more interesting ones, one of my professors in Bible college, just a wonderful man, he could pray heaven down. Brother Sachs talked about as a 14-year-old evangelist, drove around in a Model T with his grandmother because they didn't think he was old enough to be out on his own back in those early days of Pentecost. And he said, I was at some church somewhere and was just preaching. He goes, I really don't know why I said it. And he goes, I just kind of stopped. And I said, and I'm not talking about Tom here. He goes, your name may be Tom, and God knows you're stealing your neighbor's cattle. And went on and didn't think a whole lot about it. But after the service, some really red-faced guy comes up and he goes, my name is Tom, and how did you know I was stealing my neighbor's cattle? Well, Brother Sachs ministered to him and I think led him to repentance. But see, you think about that's weird. God knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he loves us enough that at times it took probably that kind of almost a slap in the face. Can you imagine sitting there and all of a sudden the preacher just calls out, which would be tough here, small group. I mean, I don't think anybody has. We used to have a lot of Toms around here. And said, you're doing something, and everybody looking over there, hi, Tom. Didn't know you were doing that. But it happens. Not usually quite that dramatic, but God does that. And they're God's way of manifesting his power and manifesting his grace, sometimes calling us to action of repentance or service or moving us so that as he works through us, God receives the glory. So let's seek God as Scripture encourages us to seek him for the best gifts, the ones that are needed in a given situation. And some of those may be gifts of power. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 7. It says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice, a word of wisdom. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And the thing I want to do here is kind of remind us the bookend of those listing of the gifts is this: help each other, the Spirit decides. It's not a matter of I'm going to prove how spiritual I am by using the gifts. No. Basically, we are just the vessel that by faith says, God, use me. And God works through us to touch others, to bless others, to help them as the Spirit enables and decides, that is the gift I want to use through this person. So let's consider these gifts of power today. We're going to start with gifts of healings. Now, in the Greek, both the word gift and healing are in the plural. And these gifts are divine enablements to heal the sick apart from the aid of natural means and human skill. God just supernaturally heals people. If you've ever experienced it, you know what that's like. And it's an amazing thing it's still one of those things. I have never healed anybody. I've kissed a few boo-boos, cleaned up a couple wounds, put a couple bandages on, but I've never healed anybody. But I've seen the power of God as we've prayed come down and manifest itself and bring healing. And it's an amazing, amazing thing. And see, the truth is sickness and death are the result of the fall. When human beings chose to sin by disobeying God's command, sickness and death came into this world. Now, Jesus made it very clear, if you go look through John chapter 9, that not every sickness is the direct result of an individual's sin. Sometimes it's not a matter of, and I think sometimes that's where As Christians, maybe we're a little gun-shy. Oh, I need healing, but are they going to think I did something bad and that's why I'm sick? I've had those moments. Okay, Lord, did I do something wrong? Is that why I'm feeling so horrible? Well, sometimes it is. But not every time. Sometimes it's just the general fallenness of our world. But thanks be to God, by his death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus has broken the power of sin and its curse. He is the one who heals us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says this, he, Jesus, personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. There is a wholeness that comes to us through what Jesus did for us. He has the power to break the bondage of sin, to bring healing where sickness and sin has caused, or where sin has brought sickness and disease. And Jesus has the power because he paid the penalty for our sin. Hallelujah, there is healing in the atonement. Praise God for that. See, it's not us. Again, we get to be the conduit where the power of God manifests itself. Tim Enlow, one of these days I'd love to have him come. He does a lot of teaching and instruction on the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. I've had the opportunity to hear him several times. And he was talking about, you know, people think, you know, they want to, oh, it's, you know, I'm going to have Pastor Tim pray for me. He goes, it's not me. He goes, there was one time, he goes, I was praying for a woman and it was kind of noisy and I really didn't hear what she wanted prayed for healing, but I just prayed for her, you know, did the little anoint with oil and she was healed. And I found out later, I prayed for the wrong thing. She was sick with this and I thought she said this and I was praying for healing from that, but God in his goodness healed her, gave her the healing she needed. But see, these gifts of healings. And I'm going to tell you, I am not an expert on this by any stretch of the imagination, but I do know this, God heals. God's healed me. I know many of you can say I've had that healing touch from God. We find so many examples of gifts of healings in the book of Acts, in the account of the early church. Probably one of the ones that we often go to, Acts chapter 3, the healing of the lame man at the beautiful gate. I don't have silver and gold, but what I have, I can give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he grabbed him by the hand. And, you know, if there were, you know, I'm thinking, okay, there was faith involved here, the gift of faith. We're not there yet, but not only was healing here, but faith going on. Because I don't know, following the leading of the Spirit. But if I was praying for somebody who was lame, I'm not sure I would have grabbed them by the hand and started to pull them up. I would have said, okay, if God healed you, go ahead and stand. Okay, well, you're starting to get up. All right, well, I'll help you. No, he just, a gift of faith, power of God manifesting itself. It was real and it happened. And, of course, that became an opportunity to, hey, why are you looking at us? It's not by our virtue or our power, but it's in the name of Jesus and faith in his name that has made this man whole. And through that proclamation, many came to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. The evangelist Philip, as he goes into Samaria in Acts chapter 8, it speaks about there was healing of many who had been paralyzed or lame. And because this manifestation of healing, these gifts of healing, that took place. It proved it. The message that he proclaimed about Jesus was real. It caused great joy, and many came to know the Lord. See, and that's true so often in the book of Acts, and even in the epistles where it talks about when a healing takes place. It's not just simply for the well-being of the person, though I think God cares about our suffering. But when God moves in this way and does something miraculous, such as a powerful healing, It should be an opportunity to proclaim the gospel. This is what God did for me. And this is what God wants to do for you. He wants to be at work in your life. Talking about in the ministry of Paul in Acts 14 during one of his missionary journeys, it says, verse 3, it says, the apostles stayed there a long time, preaching boldly about the grace of the Lord, and the Lord proved their message was true by giving them power to do miraculous signs and wonders. When we proclaim the gospel that and fulfill the Great Commission, you read the end of the book of Luke, they went everywhere preaching, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders. It's not just simply that we have good news, but often people need that little extra, maybe a little boost of faith or push to their faith, you know, kind of like Wayne was talking about this morning. God does that. God does that. I think often we it's hard for us to think or to truly believe God wants to be a part of my life. God wants to, in a sense, invade my world, invade my space. How could he love me? How could he care about me? Well, these gifts of healing and these gifts of power, and actually all the gifts of the Spirit, are ways in which it's kind of like God's, hey, I'm here. I care. I can work. I can do something in your life. Now, Jesus had to make that real when, you know, he's being questioned. You know, they lower the guy through the roof. That could be a chore. And he doesn't start right out by saying, hey, you're healed. I mean, the guy's lame. He can't walk. His four buddies carried him and lowered him down on a bed. He goes, your sins are forgiven. Well, he can't say that. Only God can forgive sins. Oh, you want proof I can forgive sins? Be healed. Rise up and walk. So that you may know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. See, it's that way that, in a sense, God opens our hearts and minds to that possibility. So, believing that the kingdom of God is active in our world is why we pray for those who have needs. God wants to touch their lives. And it's interesting that as part of the everyday ministry of the church, that the Apostle James gives us instructions about praying for the sick. James 5, verses 14 and 15. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you will be forgiven. I always thought, Lord, that makes me uncomfortable. I don't know why. But truth is sometimes it's because we're messing up that we get sick. We're not doing things the way we should be doing. But God is gracious enough, not only will he bring healing, physical healing, but he wants to restore our relationship with him if that's been hindered in any way. So gifts of healings. And again, not that clock. It's amazing how maybe in our culture now, we maybe take this for granted. You know, you don't feel good, what do? Well, you go to your cupboard and you grab your over-the-counter medicine and pop a couple of pills and hope you get feeling better. If that doesn't work, hey, I need to come in and see the doctor. And most of us have fairly good access to health care. And thank God for that. I appreciate that. But you know, we're spoiled. Because there's so many places in the world where they don't have that. But if you can go, and it's amazing how many, you know, those are amazing stories. Go into a village and, you know, maybe the daughter of the chieftain or, you know, there was one, I think it was the medicine man, somebody and his wife was sick and dying. And they came in and to the village, some missionaries came in and, you know, we want to tell you about Jesus. Well, no, we don't want to hear. And he goes, well, is there something we can do? And somebody said, well, his wife is sick. They said, well, can we come in and pray for her? And the medicine man said, no, there's nothing that can be done. I've done everything that could be done. Well, then what could it hurt? They came in and prayed, and God ministered that gift of healing. And all of a sudden, if your God can do that, we want to hear about this Jesus. Hallelujah. So gifts of miracles is the second gift that we want to look at. Gifts, and again, they're closely related. And sometimes I think they overlap because healing is one kind of a miracle. Now, a miracle has been defined as an orderly intervention in the regular operations of nature, a supernatural suspension of natural law, where God breaks into the natural world and does something that shouldn't work. And miracles abound throughout the Bible. I know Thomas Jefferson didn't, because he was somewhat deist and more of a naturalist. He went through and cut out all the miracles of the Bible because he didn't believe in them. But we believe in a miracle-working God. He can raise the dead. He can do anything he wants. Amen. He created all things. But you see stories of where an iron axe head floats on the water, something that should naturally sink. God picks it up and they scoop it out of the water. Water turned into blood. Not only in the river, but in the pots of water that had been drawn from that river. Jesus turned water into wine, which, by the way, refers back to a passage in the Old Testament about when the Messiah comes, the mountains will flow with wine. So you kind of wonder, why would Jesus do that? Well, he was saying, hey, you know what talked about the Messiah when he comes? Wine's going to flow. Me here. I'm here. We often miss that part of the story. But all these miracles that happened in the ministry of the New Testament church, we find many miracles happened. In Acts chapter 12, after James is martyred, Herod or Pilate, I forget which one, the ruler takes Peter and throws him in prison and has him guarded by four sets of soldiers, or 16 soldiers, for each. He's handcuffed to two of them, and there's, I think, one in the cell and one outside his cell door. And as the church is praying, God sends an angel and, boom, get up, Peter. You know, first of all, what does that say about Peter's faith? You know, the next day they're going to take you out and kill you, and you can just sleep. Woohoo! So he wakes Peter up. The shackles fall off. The door opens. Out they go. Here's this angel. He doesn't even realize it's an angel. He thinks he's dreaming or it's a vision. Leads him out, and the gate to the prison opens of itself. They walk out and get about a block or two away, and the angel disappears, and he goes, oh, wow, this is really real. And the faith of the church, I think God has a sense of humor here. Because when Peter goes, hey, it's me, it's Peter, open up, I need to tell you what's happened. It's me, Peter. And the maid that worked there that came to answer the door, her name was Rhoda, and she runs back in and she goes, it's Peter. And the church is there praying, and they go, oh, it must be his spirit or something. They think he's already dead. You know, what have you been praying for? Amen. You know, so sometimes, like I say, I think that God has a sense of humor. In Acts 28, after they've been shipwrecked, Paul's gathering firewood, goes to throw it on the fire, and there's a poisonous snake that's in that bunch of wood he's picked up. And rather than throw it going to the fire, it latches onto Paul's hand. And the people around him are thinking, ah, yeah, he must be some really bad dude because he didn't drown, but the gods are going to see justice is done. That's a poisonous snake. He's going to drop over dead any second here. And Paul just kind of shakes it off into the fire and goes about his business. Nothing bad happens. They went from thinking, oh, he must be a murderer or something. He must be a god. And that miracle opens the door for, hey, you know, he gets to minister to the governor of that island's father who is sick. God heals him, and then other people come and receive healing. And it doesn't say there, but you know, with Paul, he had to tell, hey, I'm doing this by the power of Jesus Christ. This is not me. This is the power of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Even to the point where, again, some neat things, you know, there's miracles. And then there's extraordinary miracles. When Paul is ministering in Ephesus, it reports this, Acts 19, 11, and 20. It says, God gave Paul the power to perform unusual or extraordinary miracles. When handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and evil spirits were expelled. When Paul started out, he was a tent maker here in Ephesus, working to supply his own needs and the needs of his party. He's sweating, got his work aprons, got his handkerchiefs, you know, wiping his brow off, and people are taking those to people that are sick or have evil spirits. Unusual, extraordinary miracles are taking place. And, it's just amazing how God will work, because he's trying to get people's attention. And he wants to make a difference in their lives. He wants to transform their lives. I heard a report this week, and it's an amazing story about an Arab woman who had heard about the Lord in the past, but she couldn't get her kids in school because that was rejected. She was couldn't find a job. Nobody would hire her. And her landlord was getting ready to kick her out of her apartment. And she'd been trying to read the Quran and just, she goes, I don't know what else to do. And she saw a light and heard a voice, I'm Jesus and I am with you. And she kind of, and then it repeated, I am Jesus and I am with you. You talk about miracles. I mean, that's a miracle in and of itself. And so she goes, okay, if you're Jesus, I'm going to believe that. The next day, the school she'd been trying to get her kids into contacted her and said, you know what, we've thought about it, and yeah, we're going to let your kids attend school here. Her landlord came to her and said, I know things have been rough for you. I'm going to give you another 3 months to see if we can get the financial things in order. One of the places where she had been looking for work called her up and said, hey, we've changed our mind. You've got a job. That's the miracle power of God at work. To build her faith and to let her know he's there with her and that he loves her. Gifts of faith, or the gift of faith. Faith is a gift. Let me try it again. Faith is a gift is something different from saving faith or the faithfulness that is the fruit of the Spirit. This gift of faith has been described this way, as a sudden surge of faith, usually in a crisis, to confidently believe without a doubt that as we act or speak in Jesus' name, it shall come to pass. Just those times, I think that's what happened with Peter and John at the Temple Beautiful, or at the beautiful gate of the temple, where they saw the man and saw there was that expectation, and just that faith came upon them. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. One scholar kind of has made this distinction between the gift of miracles and the gift of faith. He says miracles are more active, whereas in a sense this gift of faith is more passive. Miracles do things by faith or by the Spirit. Faith receives or enjoys things by the Spirit. It's almost kind of like God just drops it into your heart. He's got this. He's going to take care of the need. He's going to do what needs to be done. I think in going back to the Old Testament, think of Daniel in the lion's den. He's dropped in there, may your God protect you. Hey, my God can do this. Now, God could have worked a miracle in the sense of he could have just, okay, lions, guess what? No lunch for you today. Matter of fact, you're dead. And protected Daniel that way. But it seems more the gift of faith happened here, that God sends his angel to protect him, and he's just that rest and that confidence. God's got this. So when the king comes the next morning, Daniel, are you there? Hey, the God I serve sent his angel and watched over me and protected me through the night. Hallelujah. You know, we want those kind of miracles. We just don't want the lion to be in the lion's den, right? Yeah. But as I mentioned before, these gifts tend to overlap as the Spirit directs their usage. So that faith, that gift of faith, as with Peter and John at the temple gate, faith, that gift of faith can become part of a miracle or a healing, one of those gifts. You know, I think another Old Testament example can be of great encouragement to us. Elijah, and it's interesting here, there's no preamble. It's all of a sudden, he just, and here's Elijah. Now, we know about Elijah, right? Yeah, but he just comes onto the scene. It's 1 Kings 17:1. Now Elijah, who is from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, "As surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word." Wow, that would take some faith, wouldn't it? Ain't going to rain unless I say so. Well, unless God says so, but God's going to let me say, do it. The Spirit gave Elijah that gift of faith to speak in God's name and believe it would come to pass. Now, let me turn your attention back to James chapter 5. And some of you are already ahead of me here, where he speaks about prayer and the power of prayer, verses 16 through 18. We read 14 and 15 earlier about call for the elders, have anoint, pray, and the prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. But I stopped there, but now we continue. Verse 16. "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." Elijah, we just read about him, was human as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again. The sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. So it's not necessarily about us. There are those times that God's going to speak into our hearts by this gift of faith. And it's just like, there's no doubt. There's that confidence. God's going to do what he's proclaimed he's going to do. God's going to answer this prayer as he's directed me to pray, because the prayers of a righteous person have great power and produce wonderful results as we pray in faith as Elijah did. Hallelujah. I think what I'm talking about today, probably for me personally, one of the most clear examples of how God does these things, that gift of faith, those gifts of healing, those miracles. We had a friend, his name was Bruce. Him and his wife started coming to church. They had a little girl, but he came from a real rough background. And the place where he was working, there were a lot of drugs and other things going around there. And probably would have been not a good place for him to work, but that's where he found a job. And he struggled some in his faith and his walk with God. And one of those times as a children's pastor, you kind of wish the senior pastor had been around, but God, I guess God knew, and God, thankfully God can use us all, right? His wife calls the church and says, "I need help. Bruce has a knife and he's threatening to kill himself." I'm thinking, and you called us, okay? And so the secretary comes and says, "Pastor's not here. You're the only pastor here. You got to go." I'm thinking, I'm the little children's pastor. I don't deal with stuff like this. But I went. And by the time I got there, she had talked him into putting the knife down, and he was laying on the couch just twitching. No, actually, he wasn't laying down yet. He was sitting in a chair and just twitching and just strung out. And God did an amazing thing that day. And this goes to some of the other gifts, but God began to, through the Holy Spirit, give me words of knowledge. All the lies the enemy had been telling him that he had bought into, that he wasn't worth living, that God could not love him anymore because he had messed up so bad. So every lie of the enemy, God began just to speak into my heart, and I began to say, this is what the enemy's telling you. God says it's a lie. God says it's a lie. This is a lie. This is a lie. This is a lie. God has not given up on you. He still loves you. He is still going to be at work in your life. And then he's going, when I get like this, I can't sleep for days. And then that little gift of faith, I think, popped in, because at first I'm going, did I just say that? Because I heard the Lord speak to me, and I'm just kind of, at this point, I'm just trying to say what I sense the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. And he says, to let you know that God has not given up on you and still loves you, I'm going to pray for you, and before I leave this house, you will be sound asleep. And the natural part of my brain goes, dude, he just told you he doesn't sleep for days when he's like this, and you just told him he's going to be asleep in the next few minutes? But his wife and I had him lay down. That's where we had him lay down on the couch. And I just prayed for him in the name of Jesus and asked God to bring that rest to him. And within about 10 minutes, he was sound asleep. Folks, that's not me. And there's nothing special about me. But that's how God wants to work through our lives. Why? Because God gets the glory. People's lives are changed and transformed as they experience the power and the grace and the goodness of God. And the kingdom of God is built and advances as we show people the power of God and proclaim to them the good news of Jesus. That's what it means to be people of the Spirit. Now, is it always that spectacular? I don't think so. I think it's spectacular for the people when God does that. But see, that's when Paul says, and Scripture tells us, desire the best gifts. Desire the gifts that will build other people up, that will help other people. And then let the Spirit guide you. For someone you come across, it may be a word of knowledge. For others, it may be a word of wisdom. For someone else, maybe another Christian that's struggling with something, and God just says, they've let this into their lives, and that's how the devil's eating their lunch. You need to tell them that discerning of spirits, that they need to get that. If they want God to hear from God again, they need to get that out of their lives, because that's hindering them hearing and receiving from God. He loves us that much. He hung on a cross for us. That's how much he loved us. Why would we ever doubt that he loves us so much that he wants to work in our lives? You know, it's interesting, Wayne. You took us to Matthew 10 this morning in the adult Sunday school class. When Jesus commanded the apostles, when he sent them out, he said this, go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons, give as freely as you have received. Well, how have we received? They're gifts of the Spirit. As we go and tell others, Jesus is here for you. He's near you. He wants to be a part of your life, and he'll show you how that's true as those gifts are manifested. So I hope we will adopt this prayer in these days to come. When the early church was faced with opposition, here was their prayer, Acts chapter 4. Again, verse 29, it says this, and now, O Lord, hear their threats. Give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. Jesus, may this be our prayer this day. Holy Spirit, may we just have that hunger, not necessarily for the gifts, but just that closeness to you. That hunger to be used by you to make a difference in the lives of those around us. Lord, I know some of us have family members that we've tried talking to them, and they seem to have a deaf ear, but Lord, they have needs. And if by your gifts you can move in their lives and minister to those needs through us as we pray, as we minister to them, may their hearts be open to hear the good news of Jesus. Lord, give us that holy boldness, that desire to be used of you. Oh, Lord, stretch out your hand. With healing power, may miraculous signs and wonders be done in the name of your holy servant Jesus, that you may be glorified, that people may come to know you as Savior and Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Just let the Spirit speak to your heart this morning. No, you may not always understand what the Lord's asking you to do, but he doesn't ask for your understanding. He asks for your obedience. So often the understanding comes later. Oh, Holy Spirit, move among us. Hallelujah. Spirit of God, fall afresh upon us. In a world with so much hurt, God, you are the answer. And we get to go and be your messengers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, as we end this time and move into a time of fellowship, Lord, let it be a time of encouragement for one another. Time of joy. Bless the food, Lord, as we enjoy what's been prepared. Lord, send us from this place this day with your message and with your power. Through your Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.